Friday, August 9th, 2019. This is The Morning Mix. And good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Morning Mix. JW here with Christy Dillaway.
Hey, J-Dub.
Chilly this morning, huh?
Yes.
48 degrees.
Oh, boy, you are a weatherman. You do like to know that stuff.
I like that stuff. And wind, of course. We like temperature and wind.
You like wind, yes. Yeah. And you don't mind when the weather report says sunny and then it rains?
No, not at all.
For the listeners, I texted J-Dub last weekend during those storms, and I was
I was disappointed. I told everyone it was going to be a brilliant day on Saturday, and all hell broke loose for about 2 hours in the afternoon. I got a text from someone saying, thanks a lot, but, you know, and then I got your text.
And you said, there's no glory in repeating what's on the forecast.
No, just look out the window. But anyway, it all worked out, didn't it?
It did. So great show lined up again for you this morning on The Morning Mix, where we always present live local music and events in the Wasatch Back. We've got a full studio this morning with our musical guests, Aaron Benward, Kylie Sackley, and Danny Myrick, all from Nashville Unplugged and all singer-songwriters in their own right. They're going to be in the studio the whole hour. We're going to talk to them about their individual careers, their group performances as Nashville Unplugged here in Park City and in Las Vegas. And we'll learn a little bit about the upcoming Park City Songwriter Festival. Also, I got the opportunity to do an interview with Lucas Nelson last night, and we're going to play that about 9:40. I tried to get him in the studio today, but they were leaving for Denver overnight, and so their management said, here's another idea. How about if you come to the bus and do an interview on the tour bus before the show? And I immediately was like, yes, and then I don't know how to do a remote interview. I didn't have the training or anything, so Scoop, Emily Means, our news reporter, gave me a handheld recorder yesterday, and I went out and did it, and it was a thrill, so happy to play that later.
So let me set this up for everybody. 3 years ago, Christy says, we got to go see this concert. It's out at Snow Basin. Lucas Nelson's playing. And this band that was on our show was opening for Lucas. So there's lots of reasons to go out there. So we go out there and we have a couple of beers. And we're about 50 feet from the stage. And Christy is standing with me. Lucas comes on and all the women, including Christy, disappear. And they rush the front of the stage like little teenagers. Because the guy is a heartthrob. He's good looking.
He is.
And he's very talented.
He is.
He's got quite a smile.
He does.
Yeah.
That is the reaction that women have at those shows. So it was, I was a little worried I was going to lose my focus there in the tour bus just across the table from him.
And one of the little pieces she left out was that the management team came back and said, why don't you and your co-host come to the tour bus and interview Lucas? And I said, Christy, dude, that's not going to happen. I am not going to screw up that vibe.
You know, you wouldn't have fit at that little table we were at. We were at the little, you know.
Was the table heart-shaped?
No, but he did have to clear some stuff off the table before we could start.
Well, folks, stay tuned. It's 11 minutes and 40 seconds, and that interview will be the latter part of the hour. But there's all sorts of stuff cooking, and we really look forward to getting the show going. We're going to go to a couple of underwriters when we return. Musical guests for the hour, Aaron Benward, Kylie Sackley, and Danny Myrick. Stay with us.
Support for KPCW comes from the Wasatch Brew Pub, open for lunch and dinner, and offering weekend brunch with traditional menu items like pub steak and eggs and eggs benedict. Brewery tours available. Wasatch Brew Pub. We drink our share and sell the rest. WasatchBeers.com.
There's still time to attend Sundance Institute's 2019 Summer Film Series with free screenings in Park City, Ogden, Salt Lake, and St. George. Enjoy a movie night under the stars before summer's end, including award-winning documentaries, heartfelt family films, and an August 21st Community Choice screening voted on by you. See the full lineup at sundance.org/Utah. The Sundance Institute is a nonprofit organization and happy to support KPCW.
And welcome back to the Morning Mix. JW here with Christy Dilloway and our musical guest, very special musical guest for the hour, the folks that are involved in Nashville Unplugged in Park City and in Las Vegas last night. They had an event last night at the Rockwell Room. It was the Rockwell Room, is that
yes,
correct?
It was. Absolutely.
Okay, great. And Aaron Benward, Kylie Sackley, and Danny Myrick are here with us. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm great. I'm just glad to be sitting by a groupie.
Yeah.
Christy's officially a groupie. You know that.
She's
a bus girl now.
She's a bus girl.
You can't just become a bus girl out of nowhere.
No.
Funny, though, when I got on the bus, I said, yep, smells like a tour bus. And then I thought, what am I saying that based on? I don't know where I pulled that from, but
yeah,
maybe it made me sound like I was in the know. I don't know.
I mean, tour buses can smell pretty bad, locker room-ish, if you allow it to get that bad, just so you know.
You know he's Willie Nelson's son, okay. So it smelled a little bit more like herbal
ganja.
Essence.
Herbal remedies.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, so let's go back to the genesis of all this. I mean, did it start in Las Vegas, the Unplugged, or were you involved in the Nashville Unplugged in Nashville and other locations?
Well, Nashville Unplugged did start in Vegas, but the concept started in Nashville. So the concept meaning singer-songwriters sitting on stools telling their stories behind the songs they've written. So if you go to Nashville right now, and gosh, 7 nights a week in multiple venues across that city, you will see and experience what Nashville Unplugged is. And I was just able to, after getting off the road, I mean, I was a touring artist for many years, getting off the road, I started in Vegas 10 years ago. And, you know, man, I think oftentimes, and I've seen it time and time again, last night was no different, people experience the song and the songwriter, pull the curtain back, no smoke and mirrors, just the guitar and a song and a troubadour, I like to call it. And, man, you can't get anything better than that. So we brought that to Rockwell Room in November, and so we've been playing once a month here, and last night was just an amazing moment, amazing time.
Yeah. Well, you need to have someone with a good voice. You need someone that's able to play instruments well, the music and the hooks and all that. But it's so much about the story, isn't it? The story of the song. Is that what really grabs people?
Isn't that our life, though? Isn't our life about stories?
Yeah.
About memories? Is it about moments? And I think that's what connects with people. It's like, you know, I'm sure you can go back in your life and there's songs that they're like the soundtrack to your life. So whether it was a moment in time that a song impacted you for a different reason or this one or that one, that's what our life's made up of. So the beautiful thing is whenever, you know, I bring out different writers like I did last night and you'll meet today, you're able to sit there and soak up the moment, soak up the story. And I think that's why people continually come back and talk about it and bring other people. And that's how it grows. It's a different kind of concept. You know, Lucas Nelson, I'm sure last night was amazing. But in our room with about 150 people last night, it was also amazing because it was about the song.
Yeah. And I went to the show a couple of weeks ago and it was fascinating to hear the deconstruction of the songs and the stories and how it all came together. And you're all very relaxed up on the stage. I assume it was probably the same last night because you, as the host musician, are setting that mood for everyone. It was very relaxed.
You know, we love what we do. High West Whiskey helps get us more relaxed. But we do love it. And the fact that we get a chance to sing those songs for people and they, you know, they listen. You know, it's like every single day, 5 days a week usually, we're in a room with a friend or a couple friends or maybe people we don't know, and we have to come up with something magical. But to be able to bring, you know, our lives and our songs to people and they listen and they hear us and they respond, whether songs they know or songs they don't know, it doesn't matter. It's rewarding, man. You think about that. Everything we write is a creation, and when you're able to put that creation in front of people and then they respond in a way that's approving, I mean, there's nothing better than that.
Is there a song out there that you heard for the first time and you said, "Man, I wish I wrote that one"?
Oh, every single day. What are you talking about?
I know, but what's the big one?
All right, pretty much every Billy Joel song. I wish I would have written, or James Taylor song. Mm-hmm. Then you go into. I'm a huge Bono fan, so you listen to his life and his stories behind his songs, and you realize, man, this guy's real. You know, I think we all, at some point, if you ask any writer, what's their favorite song that they've written? I think 10 out of 10 times it would be the song that's the most honest that they've been able to write, because there is commercialism in what we do. We try to write a song to be able to pay the bills, right? So there's also those songs in our lives we're able to just be honest and emote and write for ourselves. And I think, you know, those artists that you can watch and listen to that become our heroes are the ones that are the most honest. And so I would say those three for me, for sure, those three artists.
What do you think about the trending of songwriter focus right now? There's so many, it just seems like right now there's so much attention on the songwriter process and who are the songwriters. And I'm sure that's a great wave to ride, but what do you think has caused that, and where do we hope it's going to take everyone?
In all humility, it's about time, honestly. I think that so much of our culture is based upon the face that's singing and or the brand that they've built rather than really the foundation with which they build that brand. That's the song. You have no artist without a song. And so finally, I think, and honestly, the show Nashville did a great job at that. I think, you know, it's very much a soap in some ways, nighttime soap opera of the town. But at the same time, it kind of brought an exposure to the people, the lives, the stories, and they did a great job with choosing music on that show. And so I think that really helped, and it's continuing to grow. Now Songland, the show that's out, that they, you know, it's a great little, you know, I watched a little bit of one. It was fantastic, you know, and yeah. I think it's bringing awareness to the people that every single day they bring their tool, which is their guitar or their piano, and they show up and they write.
Well, this morning we have three tremendous songwriters who are also tremendous musicians, and first up is Kylie Sackley. Kylie, you are from Australia.
I am. Guilty.
And you're living in Australia. And you're living in Las Vegas.
In Nashville.
Okay, I'll get this straight.
Yes, I've been in Nashville for nearly 17 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And before you introduce your first song, is there a song that you heard that just blew you away that you said, man, I wish I wrote that one?
Oh, plenty of them. Probably God Bless the Broken Road by The Flats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Songs that mean something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to play for us first?
I was thinking I'm going to play something kind of new for you.
Is it a debut on KPCW? Is this the premiere?
Oh, boy. We love that.
This is called I Ain't Ever Loved No One.
Live in the Morning Mix, Kylie Sackley.
You swept it.
never loved no one like that.
Thank you so much.
Kylie Sackley.
Thanks. Kylie, let me ask you a few questions about your process and how it works for you. When you write songs, do you have another artist in mind who might play it? Are you writing for yourself? And when you do have the songs, how do they get into the hands of people who might record them?
Okay, so first and foremost...
Really close to that mic.
Love your mic.
Oh, I have to love my mic. Sorry. First and foremost, for me, it's about being inspired and connecting with another human. So a lot of writers in Nashville will sit down and just get straight to business, and that's not my ammo at all. I want to know what's on your heart, where you're from, are you close with your family, all these things. And there's always a song to pull from connection. Yeah. As far as how they get in the hands, sometimes it's writing it with the artist or having a personal relationship where you can just ship it off in an email. And we have publishers for that are pounding the pavements, you know, taking our songs out and hyping them up. So, yeah.
And how did you come to be in Nashville after being in growing up in Australia?
That's a long story. I'll try and put it in a nutshell. I grew up in the talent quest scene in Australia, so I've been in competitions singing since I was 12, actually 11. And came to Nashville, had a record deal, all these fun things in Australia when I was 18 years old, and I came to Nashville to write for my first record. Fell in love with it. Also realized I don't really want to be an artist. Like, it's a tough life. My passion is writing songs and getting to do that in my yoga pants every day. So so just, you know.
But you knew that's what you wanted to do. I mean, it sounds like from a young age, you knew you wanted to be singing, performing,
100%.
But like the avenue of the writing the best.
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in being the girl behind the song. I really do. It's my passion. Like, I wake up every day excited to go write a song and see what we can chip away at and unlock word puzzles, and it's fascinating, and it's far more mathematical than a lot of people think.
I bet.
And I just love it. I love the challenge. Yeah.
What about when you're in an audience? I always think that for the musician to see everyone singing along to their words must be so empowering. But when you're the songwriter and maybe you're incognito in the audience and look around at all those people singing your creation, that just must feel so... I don't know, like the universe is coming back around. It's a big full circle. And do you feel a little bit like the conductor in that moment of conducting the energy around the universe?
I can tell you for a fact, I cried my eyes out on stage last night when we played. I played a new song called I'm Not Broken. And it came from a very vulnerable place for me. And that was scary to get up on stage and just go for it, but to see the reaction from everyone in that audience, just I lost it. I truly did. I was bawling on stage because it was so beautiful to see that and so many people came up to me after the fact and were like, thank you for writing that song. I feel that. I relate to that. And that's why we do it. Gosh. Yeah.
But most of the time when you do it, it's anonymous because you're writing for somebody else. Last night, you're up there yourself,
mm-hmm.
and that must be difficult to get used to be in such a vulnerable position.
Well, yes and no. coming from being an artist in Australia, I still have that little itch I like to scratch by going around the country and playing shows. But in general, when you're locked in a basement studio and it's a gorgeous day in Nashville, but it's all black in the studio and you're just writing a dark and twisty song, it's so good to get out of that element and be able to present it to people and see it firsthand, the reaction. It's so special. I feel so lucky.
And how often are you writing by yourself versus collaborating with somebody else?
That's a good question. I used to write a lot by myself. As the career stuff has gone better, I'm pretty much co-writing every day. I'm trying to sit down. It takes a lot of discipline to sit down by yourself. And then you have co-writes that show up on your calendar and some big wig and you're like, oh crap, this idea that I thought I was going to keep for myself, maybe I should take it to him or her. So it's just, yeah, it's tough to write by yourself, but I try to do it.
This is a question for any one of the three of you. When you perform a song that you've written and you're looking at that audience feedback, if something sort of doesn't hit the way you wanted it to, do you tweak it like a comedian would refine their joke? Do you ever go back and work that lyric a bit?
You want to jump in on that?
Endlessly.
Yeah, I think it's always a... Yeah. Some writers are different. Every writer's different, I should say. Some writers will be just write their song and let it be. Some writers will refine it until they can get it to where they think it needs to be. I think a song on the radio can be different than a song live. Last night, the song she was speaking of, literally the entire energy, talking about energy, the room was crying, captivated. It was a moment in time in everyone's life. And I think when a hit song comes across the radio, it does the same thing, but in a different way. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I think, Danny, what do you think? I think sometimes you try to write a song and get it as best you can. Sometimes the song just is what it is, you know?
Yeah, I think it depends on the song. If it's something of, you know, your story, like last night, when she played I'm Not Broken, you know, the thought process to me is if there had been no reaction, it still said everything that... because I know Kylie's story, it said everything that she probably wanted to say, period. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have something that feels like it can be a little more universal and, you know, everybody in the crowd has probably been through those same things, yeah, for sure. Like, sometimes you want to feel how that hook at the end of the chorus, for example, might hit if they're waiting to see where is this going. And there's a really special moment when you drop that last line of the chorus and everybody's like, wow, you know, and those are the hardest ones to write. But I've definitely gone back on a ton of songs and gone, man, I really love this title. I love where we're going. It didn't quite reach the impact I wanted it to. And let's tweak a little bit on that one, you know.
I have another show that I do. It's Cool Science Radio, Science and Technology. And we did a show about a year ago on the science of collaboration. And obviously, you know, the Rodgers and Hammersteins and the Lennon and McCartneys and all that. But there's something magical that happens, scientific, although it's all anecdotal evidence. But, you know, when you see that picture of Lennon and McCartney sitting in two folding chairs apart from each other in this cavernous studio of Abbey Road, and they're just playing off of each other, it makes me wonder, if I was a songwriter, it makes me think that, is there somebody out there that I would really compliment, and they in turn would compliment me, and something magical would happen. So I, as a songwriter, I might always be thinking about, you know, looking at different people and looking at their styles and wondering if we should be collaborating or not. Do you ever think about that?
I mean, I do. I've had a couple of situations over the years with different artists that I've worked with that have just been those magical things. That, you know, some have brought out a little bit of commercial success, others haven't, you know, songs that nobody's ever heard. But I'll tell you, man, I'm a preacher's kid, and I grew up kind of in that whole world of spirituality, and I should say I'm a recovering preacher's kid. I've gotten over a lot of that. But no, I got to tell you, when I break down, when I look at Lennon and McCartney, that's a whole nother deal. That's that's where you look back in history and you go, there's some things that just seem sort of providential. Those guys ending up in the towns. I watched a documentary the other night at 3 o'clock in the morning. I just couldn't cut off about the Beatles. And just that stuff is not happenstance, how you end up in the same town and you end up really different people. But there's this creative magic that is world changing. And, you know, there's only been a few of those over the course of history. And but yeah, I what's weird a little bit about our business, because for Kylie and I, especially, we live in Nashville and we write songs for other artists. And so often, you know, the pursuit of the collaboration is more business than emotional or just chemistry. We're looking for, and once you get in there, then you're hoping that you have that chemistry. And sometimes you have hit songs with people, or, you know, commercially successful songs that you don't really have great personal chemistry with. But, you know, ideally, I love to find both.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, we're going to take a short break to go to a couple of underwriters. Do not touch that dial, because more conversation with these very talented songwriters and musicians. And they're also going to be playing some additional music. And, of course, the Lucas Nelson interview coming up. So stay with us. We'll be back with weather right after this.
Hey, it's Peter Sagal, host of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, heard every Saturday at 9 a.m. KPCW, your nonprofit community public radio station, needs you to show some love during the on-air summer pledge drive August 19th through the 22nd. You can also bid on amazing online auction items through Friday, August 23rd at kpcw.org. Your contributions keep programming like Wait, Wait on air all year long. Public radio depends on your support. Just give me a call.
Two headlining artists with over 50 years of performance and songwriting. Janice Ian is a Grammy Award-winning artist, and Livingston Taylor, both with top 40 hits, performing individually and a few songs together for a memorable night of music. Performing at the historic Egyptian Theater Friday, August 9th through Sunday, August 11th, with reduced price tickets Friday. Tickets and information at parkcityshows.com or the box office at 855-745-SHOW. The Egyptian Theater is a nonprofit organization and a KPCW supporter.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Morning Mix, JW with Christy. And we, of course, have these three tremendous musicians and songwriters for the hour, Aaron Benward, Kylie Sackley, and Danny Myrick. We're going to do a little weather right now. Currently 45 degrees outside the Sweet Alley Studios. Not 45. I'm looking at the wrong one. That would be, oh, here we go. There we go. Currently 45 degrees.
What?
It can't be.
It doesn't feel like 45.
No. Well,
it's a dry 45, so yeah. It feels warmer.
It's a warm 45.
Well, here's what's going on for the weekend. We'll have a high of 81 here in Park City, about 89 degrees for a high in Heber and Heber Valley under sunny skies with a 20% chance of isolated thundershowers this afternoon. Saturday, it's kind of ditto. It's going to be sunny all day, but there is a 20% probability of isolated showers in the afternoon. Again, the high tomorrow will be 81 in Park City, 89 in Heber and Heber Valley. And then on Sunday, there is no chance of rain. Oh, you can text me if something else changes. I don't really mind. I don't mind. I'm doing the best I can, because we look at a lot of different weather sources to come up and compile this weather tapestry for you. So a high of 70 in on Sunday, and it'll be about 80. Will be the high. No, high of 78 in Park City, I'm sorry, and a high of 90 in Heber and Heber Valley. And we'll go out to Monday. It'll be sunny with a high of 78 in Park City and a high of 90 in Heber and in Heber Valley. And folks, we're going to have some special music while we do weekend events, and this music will be performed by Danny Myrick.
For the weekend events, at the Summit County Fair today in Colville, the carnival exhibits and food booths are open after 11 a.m. There'll be a pie baking contest at 1, lots of live entertainment throughout the day, and the PCRA rodeo that starts at 8 o'clock tonight.
Deer Valley Music Festival showcasing the music of the Rolling Stones tonight, circa 1969, with Utah Symphony. It's multimedia celebration of the 50th anniversary of two iconic albums, Beggar's Banquet and Let It Bleed. Tickets and information can be found at DeerValleyMusicFestival.org.
Janice Ian and Livingston Taylor will be on stage this weekend at Egyptian Theater. Both are headlining artists with over 50 50 years of performance and songwriting experience. Shows are Friday and Saturday at 8, Sunday at 6. Tickets and information can be found at parkcityshows.com.
For live music tonight, here's what's cooking. Ryan Monteblow Blue at the Cabin. Zach and Callie are at the Rooftop at the Boneyard. Bellagio at Silver Star Cafe. And Whiskey Rebellion will be at the Spur.
That buttons it up for Friday. Here's what's cooking for Saturday. Every Saturday morning, you should be listening to The Classified Show from 7 to 9 a.m. to find out what's for sale in the way below market price of in this community. I'm talking about yard sales. Call in with your information on your yard sale or listen so you know where to go and find those great deals.
St. Mary's annual Feast of Assumption procession will be departing Utah's oldest Catholic church, St. Mary's Old Town Chapel, on Upper Park Avenue, moving down Park Avenue to the St. Mary's Church on White Pine Canyon. This is Saturday. Procession starts at 9 a.m. All ages are welcome.
The Intermountain Mustang and All Ford Stampede Car Show will be happening at the Homestead in Midway. More information on this event can be found at NUMOA.com. That stands for Northern Utah Mustang Something Association. Oh, ownersassociation.com.
We love acronyms on this show.
NUMOA.
Summit County Fair schedule for Saturday includes a 10 parade. A parade at 10 down Main Street in Colville. The carnival rides, exhibits, and food booths, a junior livestock sale, lots of live musical entertainment, and the PCRA Rodeo, another acronym. The full schedule is at the summitcountyfair.org.
The 5th annual Park City Sunrise Rotary Tour to Sunrise will be happening along the Echo Reservoir starting at 9 a.m. It's a walk, run, or ride that's fun for the whole family. Register at summitcountyfair.org on the events page.
There will be a drive-in movie screening in Parking Lot K in Prospector Square. It's presented by Park City Film, Basin Recreation, and Prospector Square Property Owners Association. The movie is Storm Boy, and it's about a young boy's relationship with an orphan pelican that he raises. Parking lot party starts at 7 p.m. with live music by Snyderville Station. The film starts at dusk around 8:45 p.m. Tickets and information are at parkcityfilm.org. And lest I forget, just to remind you again, on Saturday night we will have a low of 51. So when the sun goes behind the mountains, it's going to get pretty chilly. So make sure you bring the right stuff.
The Indigo Girls will be performing tomorrow night with the Utah Symphony for the Deer Valley Music Festival at Snow Park Lodge. Tickets and information, again, can be found at deervalleymusicfestival.org.
I'm now going to tell you what's going on for live music for Saturday, but I'm going to see if we can get a custom here from Danny Myrick. Danny, for this particular portion, can you maybe give me a little Deep Purple or Indigata DeVita?
Oh, my gosh. That...
Oh, boy. For other live music in town, Janice Ian and Livingston Taylor at the Egyptian Theater, Ryan Monteblue at the Canyons Outdoor Stage, Los Helicaminos at the Spur, Justin Furstenfield at Blue October, of Blue October at the Cabin, and over at Homestead in Music in the Round, a presentation of favorite local songwriters will be on the lawn for a free concert at 6 p.m.
Let's move on to Sunday. Ben Harper will be in town with his band, The Innocent Criminals, performing at Deer Valley Concert Series, along with special guest Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue. Tickets and information are at thestateroompresents.com, and that's where I will be.
Also, Lash LaRue is performing at Cooper Moose Farms the proper way at PCMR. Patrick Ryan is at the Spur, and Memphis McCool at Billy Blanco's. If you have a conversation you're going to have upcoming with someone, you want to hire Danny Myrick to play a little lick in the background while you're having the serious conversation.
So
it just makes
though.
He's very expensive, but he's a cool guy. And welcome back to the show, Danny.
Thank you.
Thanks for being our weekend events music. That's
You're
always
welcome.
Fun.
It's my first time. I appreciate it.
Well, we do this every week, so same time next week, every Friday. All right, good.
Man, that would be a hard thing to turn down.
But if you were having a difficult conversation with someone, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have Danny doing a little diddly in the background.
You know, maybe that's a new career, like just it's kind of a therapeutic sort of thing. Like
confrontation maybe, background music?
Absolutely. And maybe I should speak to some therapists about that.
Speak to HR.
Great idea.
And if you knew ahead of time when the big point was going to be made in the conversation, you could, emphasize that.
I could definitely fill that out. No, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, the I want a divorce thing, you know. Yeah.
Ooh.
Just follow the whole thing.
Or right before they get a raise, the energy goes up.
Absolutely. No, I'm not. I'm going to go there. I could go all day with it.
Imagine if you got called into HR and there's a songwriter in the back of the with a guitar. Right, oh, he's and you're like, uh-oh, yeah. Which way is this going?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
First chord's minor, like,
Oh, yeah, the minor chords. It's going to be a bummer.
No. The D minor, saddest of all keys.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it invokes a tear from a glass eye. Absolutely. But anyway, welcome back.
Thank you.
And you're going to, tell us about your background a little bit.
Well, so I grew up in a little town in Mississippi called Pascagoula, down on the coast, about halfway between Mobile, Alabama and New Orleans. So I kind of grew up in that world of music, a lot of, you know, blues, gospel. My dad was a preacher. We had a family band, kind of like the Partridge Family with a Bible. We traveled all the time and played. Did our first album when I was 7. I started writing songs probably about 14 and had my first number one gospel song at 17. Mm-hmm. And so over the next several years, I moved to Nashville, had a few, I had 5 number one gospel songs. My grandfather was into old school country. He loved the Grand Ole Opry, and he played what he called a flat top guitar and loved bluegrass music. And so I just kind of missed, when I was doing gospel music, there was a feeling that you kind of have to put a bow on everything, you know, and life's just messy. And so I loved country music and country songs and kind of refocused on that. I was in a band in the 90s and did that for a while. And after that band, I just, you know, I got out of the business for a little bit and really missed writing songs and playing. And so I dove back into that in the early 2000s. And it's been a crazy good ride.
And you wrote Truck Yeah for Tim McGraw. You've also written for Joe Cocker and other folks.
Yeah, it's really funny. Of all the songs that have been hits, the one that comes up is Truck Yeah. So, like, I jokingly say when I play, that's probably the dumbest song I've ever written. But
that was the most video or the most hits when I Googled, you know, your songs and stuff. That one came up so many times, so I just figured that's a
We don't have time for all the stories talked about that song. But it's really funny. One of the funniest things about that song is I stopped by my publisher's office on the way to my co-write. And I told him who I was writing with, and we had written a bunch of songs together, the three guys that I wrote that with, and tend to be a little bit more on the redneck side, because there's a band called Low Cash that I wrote it with, and that's kind of what they were doing at the time. And so when my publisher said, man, whatever you do, please don't write a truck song today. I'm like, we won't write a truck song. And then one of the other guys had the idea, and we did it, and they were, Low Cash was going to record it. And then we found out a couple weeks later that Tim McGraw wanted to do it, which was the surprise of my life. And but he did it, had a big hit on it. It became a Ford truck commercial, and it's just one of those random random things.
So we're going to slightly change the order. I think what we're going to do is we're going to play the taped Lucas Nelson interview.
Do it.
And then we're going to bring you on to sing your song. How's that sound?
I'm just here for you, whatever you need.
Okay, do you want to set this up?
Yeah, so if you weren't listening to the beginning of the show, I was telling that I asked to get Lucas Nelson in the studio. He wasn't going to be around today. They left last night, and so his management said, how about this idea? You come and record an interview on the tour bus before the show. And I was super excited to try it, but I had never used remote recording. I wasn't really sure it was recording. Emily gave me a good lesson, and I was very nervous, but this is the interview. I'm Christy Dillaway with Lucas Nelson at the base of Deer Valley Mountain Resort. We're in his tour bus before the concert tonight, and I want to thank you so much for inviting me for this unique opportunity to do this interview aboard the bus.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to have you.
And for our listeners, I want to sort of paint the visual picture. Your bus is hand-painted on the outside, it looks like. It's a unique design.
Yes, there's an artist named Rainmaker, Native American artist, who painted that. Yeah.
And we're sitting in the little nook, 2 benches and the small table. And I want to verbally acknowledge to everyone the almost famousness of this interview and what we're doing here on the bus.
Oh, yeah.
And let you know that if you need me to continue following the tour, we can talk about it later.
Following the tour? You want to, like, just jump on the road? Is that what you're asking?
I'm always asking.
Yeah. Wow, be our guest. We're going to Denver next. We're going to Denver next to play with Zach Brown. And then we're doing Portland with Steve Earle. And then Seattle with the Rolling Stones.
Have you played with the Rolling Stones before?
Once. We played in New York just recently, yeah.
Nice. I want to ask you, so we're in your tour bus before the show. What is a normal practice that you individually or as a band do before a show to get ready?
Well, that's a good question. We like to circle up before the show and really get connected like a huddle, you know. And we sort of say what we want to say before the show and connect with each other and become a unit, and then we go out there and do it. That's really the only routine that we have. But when we're with Neil, when we're backing Neil Young, we do vocal warm-ups for 30 minutes before each show, and that we'll do that.
And when Neil's not here, you don't have to do it, or you just feel like you don't need it for this set or a show?
I've been doing it the way that I've been doing it for a long time, and it's been working. I haven't really been having any trouble with my voice or anything, and my dad does it every night that way. I try and keep myself healthy, and exercising a lot is important in order to have a clear lungs and a clear breath. But some of us warm up sometimes, but I don't like to have a routine either before a show, because if I break that routine, then I'm in my head during the show, and it's very hard to keep a routine on the road for me, you know. I like my sleep. I like to sleep at odd hours sometimes to just get rest, and so I'd sort of let my body do the talking and just make sure I'm ready for the night.
And how has this tour gone so far, promoting your latest album, Turn Off the News, Build a Garden? How's the road been?
You know, the road has been really good. We've been running hard, and the guys are just super grateful to be, able to play music so much. But looking forward to the time off that we have after this last Stone show. We'll have a couple weeks in Hawaii. And that'll be nice.
You get to go home and go on vacation at the same time then.
That's exactly right, yeah.
We do too in Park City. Well chosen locations.
Yeah, exactly.
And can you talk a little bit about the title for this album and the title song and what inspired that sentiment?
Well, it was a direct call to action, interestingly, because it's not about turning off the news, and it's not about anti-journalism. It's really positive connectivity between a community. If you turn off your device, just for balance your device time with time with like what's actually around you and what you can actually do something about in your general vicinity. And I think that that will cut down on anxiety and allow. And when somebody doesn't have a lot of anxiety, then they sort of make the other person next to them more peaceful. And if you don't carry the weight of the world on your shoulders all day long, I think that you can actually go to your local homeless shelters. You can go to you feel like you have more. It's basically directed towards people who sit on the couch, watch the news, are on their devices, and they actually don't do anything about it. They don't go vote locally. They don't go and go to local farmers markets or actively support companies. They're not educated. They just watch the news and then don't do anything. You know, if you have some sort of desire to help people, then you should help them. And I think you should help them every day, and you shouldn't be, on Christmas only. You know, it should be a part of your daily life to be giving back, and that's, you have more energy to do that when you're not sitting there thinking the world may end any moment, from both sides, so.
I spend a lot of time in my garden on the weekends in the summer, and I don't really need to be doing anything, but I find that it does balance me and just put on a podcast and enjoy that time getting dirty. You're eating some arugula that I brought you from my garden right now.
I am.
How is it tasting?
I like the spice.
It's good. I do grow a spicy brand.
Yeah, it's good.
I heard you say in an interview that you appreciate practice and performance. And as a live music viewer, I really appreciate a good performance. And, some people just play and the music's great or the setting's great, the venue's great, but it's a show. And I wonder if that came to you intrinsically, naturally, or if you had people guiding you and teaching you on what makes that tight connection and the great show?
Well, I'm a observer, you know. I observed one of the greatest performers, my father, for my whole life, you know. And he observed Bob Wills. Bob Wills was his sort of, that's how I want to do it. And he booked a show with Bud Fletcher, who was in love with Aunt Bobby, his sister at the time, and they started a band when they were in their teens down in Texas near Hillsborough, Abbott County, Hillsborough. And they were playing in bar bands when they were super young, and you know, the church folk didn't like that, you know. But they, him and Bud Fletcher, managed to book Bob Wills to come play their little town, paid him $1,000, which was a fortune back then. Didn't make any money about it, but they got their hero to come to their town. Dad was probably only 13 years old, and Bud Fletcher was like 22 or something, you know.
Oh, crazy.
Which I think on stage I feel most at home. You know, it's sort of a natural place for me to be. I like to move around. I don't like to be in one place. I never did. I like to be healthy, and I think music keeps me healthy mentally, and that's why I do it, you know.
Speaking of being healthy, how long do you think you and Corey are going to be able to do those big jumps, those kick switch jumps? And do you do a warm-up for that before a show?
No, I used to skateboard, and I snowboard, and I like jumping, you know, and I sort of just try to incorporate as much athleticism into the show as I can, just to stay active, I guess, because I had to sort of give up a little bit, you know, in order to give everything to this, you know. I play golf now because I had a back injury. I actually fractured my spine when I was rolling. I missed a roll one time, and that was years ago. I didn't even realize I broke my back until, like,
rolling and skateboarding?
No, I was rolling on stage, actually. Oh. But I was I was 25, and I still was drinking a little bit at that point, and I just misjudged a roll, and there was a drop there that I didn't see, and so my full weight went on my back, and I broke my back, but I didn't know until later, way later. And so, like, you know, it's just,
yeah. So I just try and do what I can. Yeah, I don't know. I'm living on borrowed time with the jumps.
Borrowed time with the jumps. Right.
What about when you play guitar with your teeth? Who taught you that? Or where does that come from? Or is it your tongue or your teeth? I'm not sure.
Well, it's a little of both. I just go like, ah.
Is that really what you're doing back there?
No. No, the teeth are more pick-like. A tongue doesn't have a lot of sound. You know, you can't get very accurate with your tongue on strings, because it's metal, and your tongue doesn't have the picking ability that your teeth do. If I did, I might be in another profession. You know.
The teeth thing is,
Hendrix did that. That's what I saw. I watched Hendrix.
Do you have any musical inspirations that you have not met yet?
Hendrix.
Soon enough. Soon
do you believe intentions really do come true? That one might not work.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't met the legends that I haven't met. Oh, man, you know, it's more about the legends that I didn't get a chance to meet for me, you know. It's, for me, it's like Levon Helm, J.J. Cale, people that were like, I could have met and I never did, and I just, you know, I could have, you know, could easily have passed. Tom Petty, one of my great heroes. I was at one of his last concerts, and I was just watching on the side, but he just zipped by. I didn't get a chance to say hi, and we, you know, he blew my mind. But, you know, Yeah, there's a lot of folks that David Bowie, I wish I could have met, you know. But there's a lot of legends still that I don't know about, I'm sure.
Thank you so much for letting me join you on the bus and have a great show tonight. And I'll be out there watching. And we hope that when you come back to town, we'll get you into the studio at KPCW.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
If you're just joining us, this is KPCW in Park City and the Morning Mix with JW and Christy, and great musical ensemble for the hour. We're having conversations with Aaron Bernward, Kylie Sackley, and Danny Myrick. We're going to, yeah, I like that name too. We're going to go to a couple of underwriters. We'll be right back because we're going to have some more conversation with these folks and some more live music. Stay with us.
This hour of programming is brought to you in part by the generosity of our Broadcasters Club. KPCW would like to recognize Broadcasters Club members Reg and Gina Harper, Kathy and Scott Emmon, Brad Ulch. Thank you. You're a big part of what makes our community great.
Listeners support KPCW in many different ways. Some write checks, others use credit cards, or you could give us your car, or boat, or motorcycle. By donating an unwanted vehicle to KPCW, you'll be supporting all the programming you enjoy and may be eligible for a tax deduction. Find out more about our vehicle donation program by calling 649-9004 or visit our website at kpcw.org. Just click on the word support.
Hi, this is Catherine Simos, Grand Valley Bank's Park City Branch President. We're excited to sponsor this summer's Grand Valley Bank Community Concert Series at Deer Valley on Wednesday nights. We're longtime supporters of KPCW's live broadcast of the concerts, and we are devoted to giving back to the Park City community. GrandValleyBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Cisco Design, and Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. You've been listening to our songwriters in the studio. Hey, they're all coming back to town as part of the new Park City Songwriter Festival, September 13th and 14th. So if you missed them last night, get your tickets now. Aaron, why don't you tell everyone about the Songwriter Festival?
Yeah, September 13th and 14th. Put it on your calendar. Go to ParkCitySongwriterFestival.com. That's ParkCitySongwriterFestival.com. We're taking over five venues down Main Street from the Cabin to the Spur to Flanagan's, OP Rockwell, and the Rockwell Listening Room. Bringing in over 40 singer-songwriters. I mean, we have 50 to 60 number one songs represented, Hall of Fame songwriters. It's just going to be an amazing, amazing experience for people here in Park City. So make sure you go to the website, check it out. They have people like Mark Broussard, Anders Osborne, North Mississippi All-Stars. It's going to be an incredible, incredible event. I'm so excited to be a part of it. And the first ever music festival in downtown Park City, September 13th to 14th.
Boy, it's going to be fun. This is going to be really a good show. Danny Myrick.
Yes.
Can you take us out with a song? Tell us what you're going to play for us.
I'm going to play a song about songs that I wrote with a couple of buddies of mine that kind of ended up being a love song. It goes like this.
Everybody get outside and have some fun this weekend. Live in the Morning Mix, Danny Myrick.
I pick up this old guitar, looking for a place to start. Melody straight from the heart, the world can sing along too. 'Cause every song needs motivation, a little spark of inspiration. Everybody's looking for a muse to help them find their three chords and the truth. Paul was talking about yesterday, Otis sat on the dock of the bay, and Ray, he had Georgia on his mind. Springsteen was born to run, Marley was all about one love and guns, and Roses rocked, sweet child of mine. Johnny sang about June, I sing about you. Girl, the only song worth playing is the one about the love we're making. Gets me feeling like you're laying right here next to me. You put the magic into these six strings. Yeah, Paul was thinking about yesterday. Otis said.